Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Hi.
Hi. Monday.
Yeah. How are you?
Oh, just fabulous, actually. I think last time I was getting sick or something.
Yeah. You gave it to me from Texas telepathically. Yeah.
Across the United States of America.
You're lucky I'm here today to record with you and not in jail.
Why? What did you do?
Well, okay. So Tab and I, we have an affection for the Aleve sinus and cold.
Yes,
we feel pretty strongly about it. Okay.
It's the only one that works. And yeah. I know it's coming on to cold season. And if you haven't heard us talk about it, it's not the Advil cold and sinus. It's not anything but the Aleve.
And nothing makes us more crazy than when people are like, I already took Sudafed. Not the same thing.
No. Okay?
Not even close.
No.
Okay. So I was home. All three of my kids are sick. And I had Costco delivered. Mm-hmm. And while I'm shopping online for Costco, I added the NyQuil, because we have a coughing situation, and the Alka-Seltzer.
Okay.
Didn't think anything of it. Then we go to pick up their prescriptions. I see the Aleve sinus and cold behind the counter. You listen, they run out sometimes. You got to get it when you can get it. So I say, can you
to go to the pharmacy.
You have to ask for it behind the counter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I ask for it and they're like, no, you can't. You have bought too much. And I'm like, what? Say what?
Like you're having your own little meth lab.
I was like, I haven't bought any this month. They're like, you're only allotted so much during a month. And I was like, you got to check that again. I haven't bought it. Apparently it's buying the Costco size. It has the same ingredients in it.
Oh, because you bought the NyQuil.
Because I bought the NyQuil and the Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah.
I would trade them in for a leaf.
Seriously. I only have four.
I'm like, oh gosh.
Four a leaf?
Uh-huh.
Oh man, girl.
I can have my husband go
and
see, but I was really I was really shamed in the line. They were like, it has nothing to do with us. It's the federal government. I was like, oh shit. I'm on the no fly list. I got flagged.
You totally did. You're going to be like, they're going to actually not let you get it ever. They're going to think you're making the stuff.
Dude, I'm strategically now going to get one every month, put it on my list of things to do.
So I've done that before. And then you have a whole cabinet full of expired medicine.
I know I do. Yeah. Expired medicine is balls.
Lame.
I know.
But I did go to the store yesterday to also get my Aleve and the pharmacy was closed. So I picked up some generic version of something. It did not work at all.
The generic Aleve works.
And you know what?
It's got to be the real deal.
$17. I was like, damn it. I just spent this money for nothing.
Yeah.
So anyways, other than us being sick, hopefully you guys are all healthy and well and thriving this weekend. Gretchen and I have been putting up all of our decorations. I know we already talked about it, but we really have. Mine look really cute.
Yeah, I redid mine already. In my sickness state, delusional last night, I was changing things around. And my husband is like, just go to bed.
It's because you probably took the Aleve. It's crack.
I'm like, no, I didn't even take one yesterday because I feel like I took one today because I have so much to do, but I just feel like I have to they're so coveted. And getting my husband to go to the pharmacy for me is I've got to beg, borrow and steal to get him to do it.
Yeah.
And cause I can't do nasty things cause I'm sick.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Oh my gosh. It's report card season also in addition to cold and flu.
Oh,
did you get yours?
No, it's different here.
Oh, okay.
We actually get our grades every single day.
So I am apparently an attentive parent. Yeah, I didn't realize that it is on the computer, sort of every single day.
Yeah.
So my child I got a message from the school saying grades were coming out. So I logged into the school system and looked up the grades. Mm-hmm. Well, one of my children had an F in math. And I'm like, okay,
what's the deal?
What's going on? You know, I write the teacher like immediately, you know, hey, what can I, you know, what can we do to help her, you know, get tutoring, whatever. He doesn't get back to me. She is like, listen, I tried my best. She has like no fear at all.
Is this Ruby?
Yes, of course. She's like, I tried my best. It is what it is, mom. I'm like, Not really.
Because you said you didn't have homework. There's all these missing assignments. I have the same
all
thing.
That stuff.
Yeah.
So then we got the actual report cards mailed to us, the paper form, and it says she has a C.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay. I write the teacher back, like, still concerned, but
not as concerned.
Not as concerned, right? And I tell Ruby, and she's like, victory dance. Like, excuse me, girl. A C is not as good as you can do.
C's make degrees, girl.
I know. I do. In college, that's fine. But in sixth grade math, come on.
I know. But it's the studying. Sixth grade, seventh grade, it gets challenging. And now, you know, my husband's wondering why we're not going out to dinner and doing all these things anymore.
Oh, you got to be
and
on I'm these like, children.
I'm sorry. I think we're doing homework, sitting next to our kid until 9 o'clock at night. Like,
I don't know who these people are that have these independent children that actually just do it. Because every single time I believe that my kids have just done what they're supposed to have done, they've never done it.
No, I know. I mean, most adults are like that. So how can we expect our like
words? So profound.
All right. Okay. Well, do you want to hear about another adult that needed some, you know, direction?
Profound intervention? Yes, I do.
Okay, let's go. All right, we are going to North Salt Lake. You probably are familiar with that area because of, you know, all your shows.
Reality television. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I am. I have not been there though.
Have you ever been to Salt Lake City?
No.
No. Okay. So North Salt Lake is a suburb of Salt Lake City. It's located about 8 miles north and takes about 15 minutes to get there from the city. And there's only about 23,500 residents living there. It's pretty pricey also to live there, which I noticed after 2020, a bunch of people kind of like made their way to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. So the house prices were expensive then, even more expensive now. I was looking it up. It's like 700,000 plus.
It is a gorgeous city.
I know, but it's too cold. I'm not about having being cold most of the year. I can barely handle the Texas cold.
Okay.
So
I don't think they pour a proper drink there. Isn't that like the deal with Utah? Like they're real strict about that like 1 ounce thing.
Yes. Because most of the population probably doesn't drink, or they do it like very secretly like that. I just learned on the Mormon show.
Okay.
The Mormon Housewives, whatever it is. That was a funny costume, by the way. All these women dressed up as them.
Oh, okay. That is a funny costume.
Yeah. All right. Did you ever look at that website, Niche?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, when we were moving, I was all about it. And it tells you all about the house, like the area. But this area is like idyllic, top rated public school. Crime is below 73% of the national average, which is like awesome. Okay.
That sounds good.
If you want to move there, it's a great place.
Okay.
And that is why Jill Martison, actually her name was Jill Allen at the time, moved there. But before she married her husband, her name was Jill Martison. She was born February 9th, 1972 in American Falls, Idaho, to mother Andrea and father Kenneth. Her dad unfortunately died when she was just 11. And her mom remarried a guy named Gary Myler, who really became like her great stepdad. Like she considered him a parent. In 1990, Jill graduated from Aberdeen High School and went to Boise State University, where she met a handsome fellow named Paul Christopher Allen. I'm like having like a nose issue. Hold on. Okay.
That's a real unfortunate name. Three first names. Stupid.
I kind of actually like the name.
You do?
Mm. Yeah.
It's not working for me.
It's not, well, what are you supposed to do? Name your middle name? Like not a
first name? Maybe give them like mixed, break it up.
Like Paul McAllister Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might work too. Okay. Mm. Well, this guy, Paul Christopher Allen. These two, Jill and Paul, really hit it off. They married in 1994 in Aberdeen and then moved to Utah. Jill would go to hair school to be a hairstylist, and Paul worked. Jill also actually worked while she was going to hair school at a clothing store. And then on August 28th, 1996, just 2 years after these two were married, Paul Allen was out on the water with some friends boating all day long, which sounds like what we would probably be doing if we lived
there. Dreamy.
Yes. He didn't get home until around 10 o'clock that night. He and his wife, you know, Jill, they lived in a condo in North Salt Lake. And when he was walking up to the condo, he noticed that their front door was open. When he walked through the doorway, he saw Jill lying on the floor in the hallway covered in blood. Which seems like this is like the same scenario that I just talked about like last week, isn't it? Maybe the week before. Or every week, but anyways, yeah. I'm like, this is like,
we have kind of a theme going.
I guess so. Like, door was open, husband finds the wife. He calls 911 and the dispatcher, I'm going to like, just, you know, act like the call. Dispatcher says, 911 emergency. Paul says, my wife, something's wrong with her. Dispatcher goes, does she have any prior heart conditions? No, she's bloody. She's bloody? Yeah. Did you see any blood or wounds on her? Huh? Are there any cut marks on her? I don't know. I haven't looked. So then Paul asks the dispatcher for an ambulance and she says, yeah, can you like check her body for some wounds? And he tells them that somebody must have broken in. And then finally he like all of a sudden says that he found something on the back of Jill's head and starts flipping out. When police and ambulance arrive, the first responders assess Jill's condition and her injuries, and they finally said, you know, Jill didn't make it. They told Paul, and he basically lost his shit. He started screaming and jumping up and down and running back and forth side to side in the condo and outside of the condo and by the condo's clubhouse. And I will tell you, I think that's exactly what I would do.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah. Yeah. That sounds like very reasonable.
Yeah.
And also finding like a head wound. That's the moment when you really like flip out too.
I know. So back inside the condo, police discovered a baseball bat inside the door of a bedroom. The bedroom was completely trashed. The bed was tossed. Drawers had been pulled out. The contents were dumped everywhere. Jill's purse was open. Everything inside of it was tossed out across the kitchen counter. Jill still had her clothes on, but her belt had been broken and her clothes were kind of like pushed up, exposing like parts of her. The carpet underneath Jill's body was completely soaked in blood. Blood splatter was all over the wall, all over where she was. There was clear signs of a struggle. However, the doors and windows like showed no sign of forced entry. It was like the killer just walked inside the front door and found Jill. Which, by the way,
if you live in a real safe community, maybe you just don't lock the fucking door.
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know if that's really a concern because it's 73% below the national average of violent crime. Like, I don't think this shit happens there at all. Jill's body was sent for an autopsy where her cause of death was found to be a result of strangulation as well as blunt force trauma to the head. Despite the state of her clothing, there was no sign of sexual assault. After Jill's remains were released, a funeral was planned for September 2nd, 1996 in Idaho, where Jill grew up. Jill was Mormon and a member of the Church of Latter-day Saints, and her funeral was held at their like city ward. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about like the Mormon religion, they have these wards that are in like their own neighborhood, right? So like where we are, I think there's two in our town, and based on where you live is where you go. It's kind of,
yeah, I hear they pass out these lists that say like active, non-active,
yeah,
who lives in your ward. A reason, yeah. I could never be Mormon. Could I be shamed like I was buying the Aleve? Like, don't be going to church. I think you get non-active on the newsletter.
I know. I think that you do. So that's probably why they go to church.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're not paying your dues, you're probably also you're not active.
Non-active. You came, but that don't count.
And you're not paying us. So
yeah.
Jill was laid to rest at the Aberdeen Cemetery after her funeral. Back in North Salt Lake, Paul was being looked at by the investigators because...
Yeah, it's pretty logical. Yeah.
Yeah. But detectives didn't have any evidence to link Paul to this crime. He looked like every bit of a grieving spouse that you would think, you know? Sergeant John Herden of North Salt Lake Police Department headed the investigation, but months and months went by with like few to any leads, and it really was going nowhere. That is until April 1st, 1997, when a man named Brandon Nicholson walked into the North Salt Lake Police Department. Brandon told the sergeant that he knew two guys from work, Joseph Sergis Wright and George Anthony Taylor, also one with three first names. Right?
Yeah.
George Anthony Taylor.
Maybe that's like a, maybe that's a Utah Mormon thing.
Oh, maybe it is.
Maybe one of our Mormon listeners will tell us and tell us if we're wrong about the word thing. Feel free.
Yeah, feel free. About 3 weeks before Jill's murder, George Anthony Taylor told Brandon that he and Wright had been hired by somebody named Paul to kill Paul's wife. In exchange for murdering her, Taylor told Brandon that he would receive between $5,000 and $10,000. Brandon said that he confronted Taylor after seeing the news report about Jill's murder, and Taylor admitted to killing Jill. Brandon said that George Taylor was going to shoot Jill, but when the gun misfired, Taylor then decided to hit her instead. Then he beat her with a baseball bat before he finally strangled her. Taylor dumped Jill's purse and dresser drawers to make it look like a robbery, and then yanked Jill's clothes up to make it look like a sexual assault. Brandon said that he actually helped Taylor dispose of evidence, and like any good criminal ready to confess, he told them that he would testify for the prosecution in exchange for immunity for his part in the crime.
And he just walked right in and said this.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird, right?
Yeah, it's weird that you are morally corrupt enough to think that even $50,000 to unalive someone is acceptable in the moment. And then take it from a gun to a bat. That's pretty horrendous.
No. So Brandon is the one that walked in. He didn't do any of this. He just, and I'll tell you in a minute, he just was told by these two guys that worked with him that that's what they did.
Okay.
He also said he had a part with destroying evidence, which is, I'll tell you later, is he burned the clothes for that one of them was wearing.
Yeah.
He also did one other thing that I'll get to, but he was not there and did not participate in the crime, but he did. I think he was having some guilt for his participation in the crime. And when it like actually hit him that these guys actually did this to this woman, probably.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah. George Anthony Taylor was soon arrested. And sure enough, this dude coughed up a full confession also.
Dang.
Plus he told his buddy, Joseph Wright, who was then arrested too, and also sang like a bird when he was in custody.
Dang.
Both Taylor and Wright provided the same person who hired them, and it was none other than Jill's husband, Paul Christopher Allen. So their story is that Wright said that Paul had approached around December 1995, 8 months before Jill was killed. Paul said that he knew a guy at work that wanted his wife killed, and he was willing to pay about $10,000. So Paul didn't immediately say it was like his wife, right?
Yeah.
Paul asked Wright straight up if he was interested, and Joseph Wright told him that he would see what he could do. Later, Paul told Wright that he was having marital issues, and it was actually his own wife, Jill, that he wanted to be killed. Also, at this point, the price went up. It went from $5,000 to $10,000 to $30,000. And he promised him to like, he was going to give him part of Jill's life insurance, which was $50,000. So, which I thought, wow, like Paul really wants his wife dead if he's willing to give like over half of it.
Yeah, I'm thinking what made her such a bad wife. I mean, she's in hair school and she works retail. So that means she's looking cute all the time.
Mm-hmm. And she was really cute.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And she's young. So like get a divorce, dude. Or maybe it was because they were Mormon. I don't know. That like he felt like he couldn't get divorced. I don't know.
I think you can still be getting divorced.
You can. I know people in the Mormon religion that have gotten divorced.
Unsealed, I think. You got to go through a process, but I think it's doable.
Yeah.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Pay client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing. Involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Lady listeners, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you are, you are most definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormonal disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. They are in our food, water, the air we breathe. They are all up in our business, messing with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through, perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier through these changes. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. I've been taking Hormone Harmony for months and will keep on keeping on because it just makes life easier. I feel less stress, less bloat. And just even, I feel more like myself. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
So Wright told Paul that he was interested in the job, and they started talking about how it would go down. George Taylor turned out to be the actual man for the job, and he agreed to kill Jill in April 1996. 4 months before she was killed. Joseph received payments from Paul during the next few months. The payments were always made in cash, and I think the total was somewhere between $14,000 and $16,000. Paul promised the rest of the money after Jill's life insurance was going to be paid out. So Paul was then charged with aggravated murder, conspiracy to commit aggravated murder, and criminal solicitation in connection with his wife's murder. In 1998, George Anthony Taylor got 5 years to life for pleading guilty to murdering Jill, which I'm like, it's not a lot. I mean, I guess life is, but 5 years?
Yeah.
For actually doing the job?
Yeah.
His accomplice, Joseph Sergius Wright, he got 2 to 5 years for his part in being, you know, hiring Taylor. Which, by the way, I'm like, Utah, are you guys really easy on these criminals or what?
Yeah, the Menendez brothers are like, too bad we don't live in Salt Lake.
Totally. Then came Paul. It would be another 2 years before Paul faced a judge and jury, and his trial started on February 3rd, 2000. One of the first witnesses for the prosecution was a medical examiner who testified about the injuries that caused Jill's death. And like I said, it was strangulation, blunt force trauma. And it was so bad that the beating, he said, Jill was unrecognizable. The police and paramedics that were there first on the scene also testified that Paul was weirdly composed when they showed up. One of the deputies testified how Paul was just standing in the kitchen, calmly drinking a soda with a friend when they got there. So, and then when he pronounced her dead, he started flipping out, which I think was a pretty good act.
Yeah, it does sound like a pretty good act. Mm-hmm. Although I did think the initial react, I mean, I know the dispatcher sounds like she's got a little like twisted, you know, sometimes they ask like real dumb questions.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know, shout out to all the dispatchers most of the time. I mean, it's gotta be a real tough job.
Yeah.
But my initial reaction would be like, you go and you grab that person. You're like already like checking for a pulse and like seeing where, like what is going on before, like you got to do a little triage before you even like call 911. And then the first thing you say on 911 is, I need to send an ambulance now.
I know.
So I did think that was a little tricky. I really thought we were going to go down the road where they were going to like have like falsely accused him.
Unfortunately, no. Although I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
Also, but not that. Because I think he's the one that did it, but
yeah.
They also got testimony that after Taylor had murdered Jill, he called Wright saying it's done. And then Wright called Allen at 10:25 PM and left a voicemail stating it's done. And the guy wants his money. George Taylor was brought in from prison to testify for the prosecution. And he had a lot to say. Paul Allen actually had a spare key made to the front door of his and Jill's condo, and it was passed to Taylor from none other than Brandon. Remember Brandon who walked mm-hmm. in the front door or the door of the police department?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why I think like that's where his probably big guilt, you know, because not that
well
not,
he knows if saying, if it comes back to him, he has a role, he's going down too.
Yes,
that's bad.
Yes, I know. And that's probably, I mean,
that's not after the fact, that's before the fact.
Right.
That's, yeah. You knew what was going to happen. You could have saved a lady's life.
Yes, he could have.
That's terrible.
Yes, terrible.
Shame on you, Brandon.
Yeah. I mean, did he know? I don't know if he knew.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He knew after he had to burn somebody's clothes. I mean, then it's like, what am I burning your clothes for? That's fucking weird. If somebody ever asked me to burn their clothes, I wouldn't do one. I wouldn't do it.
I ain't trying to know you no more.
I'm not like, we are not friends.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Don't come to me if you want your clothes burned. Let me just tell you that. And don't come to me if you ever do something bad, because I'm not the one to tell. Although I do like information.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was passed to Taylor from Brandon. Then Taylor used the copy key to get in the front door of the condo where he waited for Jill. He hid in the hallway until she got home from work. And then he struck her. He had a gun in his left hand and he used his right hand to punch her. Jill was a fighter. She fought back. He told the jury that he got on top of her and told her not to scream, but she still did. And then he tried to shoot her, but it misfired. And that's when he hit her with the gun to like become unconscious, but she didn't. I mean, girlfriend, too bad she didn't get away, because man, like she had it in her, you know?
Yeah.
That's when he got the bat and then he used her belt to strangle her. Taylor also said the reason that he took the job was because he had a very heavy gambling debt that he had run up, and that when Wright approached him for the job, he agreed to do it. Wright told him that Paul would pay him $10,000 once it was done. And on August 28th, when it happened, wasn't actually the first time that he attempted to kill Jill. He said that between June and August, he had planned to hide in Jill's trunk while she was at work. And then when she got out, he was going to crawl through the back seat and shoot Jill. And he said he tried twice, but then couldn't go through with it. And then when Paul got the spare key made, it was kind of easier for him to do it. Taylor claimed that he told the truth after being arrested because he saw Jill's mom on TV pleading for help to solve her daughter's murder. He said that he also spilled the beans first and foremost. He said, "I want to give some answers to Jill's family. I felt that it was the least I could do to help them, not to mention the guilt that was wreaking havoc on my..."
Was he a Mormon too?
I don't know.
Because I think we need more Mormon criminals. Just, you're already going down. Just spill it. That is like the most frustrating thing. Like, just give the family some... It's the least you can do is take a plea so you don't have to put them through a trial.
I know.
And just spill it.
I know, but you know what? The one that didn't spill it is freaking
Paul,
the husband.
Ugh.
Prosecutors produced a receipt for a debit card purchase that Alan made on the 26th, where he did get a key copied. The defense claimed that there was a reasonable explanation for that, but they never gave one.
Yeah.
They just said that these two, Taylor and Wright, were totally like off their rocker and they've changed their story and it isn't what they claimed. Brandon also testified about receiving the key from Paul and providing it to Taylor. He said that Taylor asked more than once how to kill somebody. And he even asked Brandon if he would... I guess Brandon didn't know because he said that he was asked to help carry out the murder. Brandon said...
Okay, back to shame on Brandon.
I know. Brandon said... Yeah, so he could have stopped this for sure. Brandon said that when Taylor asked, he would either not show up or just refuse to help. However, he did help burn those clothes. The defense had quite a theory themselves. Their version was that this was just an artful story of these guys making up this story about a robbery gone wrong. And they were
like, they just woke up and were like, as long as I'm arrested, I think I'm just going to take the opportunity to get some prison sleeps. I really don't like my mattress.
Yeah.
I want to try out one of them cot things. And eat, those
food.
Yeah, eggs that are not like eggs. Like, I think they're made from powder.
Yeah, powdered eggs.
I picture that's what they feed them in prison.
Like, I can imagine. It's boxed mashed potatoes for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he says they concocted the whole story about Paul planning to murder and paying them so that they could get time taken off their sentences. 3 weeks after the trial started and 9 hours after deliberations, the jury of 6 men and 6 women presented their verdict. And of course, they found Paul Christopher Allen guilty of murder. When he heard the verdict, Paul buried his head on the table and slumped down in his chair. Jill's mom told reporters, "It's good, it's right, but it should never have happened. And the truth did come out, and these people did recognize the truth, and you can't run from the truth." Paul was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole. I'm telling you, like, Utah, let it go. He appealed his conviction the first time in 2005. During the original trial, the prosecution introduced evidence of credit card fraud that Paul had been committing. And he was stealing customers' information and using it to get credit card from his job. He then would use these cards to run up charges at different stores and for golfing.
Okay, so this is my question. Well, I mean, granted, this is like back in the day, but I have this like argument with my husband because I am a big fan of the Apple Pay because I feel like then nobody gets your, they don't really get your number.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Uh-huh.
And he's like, "No, it doesn't matter." I'm like, "No, I don't, if I can avoid putting my card into a machine,
no, I think you're right.
Then I think it's safer."
Yeah, I think you're right. Because it changes the number every time you Apple Pay. Like it's different. Like, because every time I go return, they're like, "Do you have this credit card number with this da da da?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't have that credit card number, but I paid with Apple Pay." So that's probably why it's doing that,
Yeah.
So I think it's safer. Yes. So just always pay with Apple Pay.
Yeah.
Anyways, the prosecution felt that it was intrinsic evidence, and in appeals, Paul's lawyer tried to use a credit card fraud as a reason to overturn this conviction, which doesn't make any sense to me. And the Utah Supreme Court said no can do barbecue. Then he appealed again in 2008, and they shot him down again. Over the years, Paul has tried to maintain his innocence. There is a Facebook page out there for him, but nothing's been posted since 2016. So, I mean, I don't think it's happening, Paul. He appealed again in 2016, claiming new evidence existed pertaining to the case. And this new evidence was a credit card purchase he made in proof that the gun had been purchased 3 years before the murder, not the night before the murder. I don't think that really matters either, Paul.
Doesn't matter to me.
It doesn't matter. So, appealed, denied. He appealed in 2018, 2020, also denied. And then in 2022, George Taylor was eligible for parole. He faced a parole hearing, and Jill's family testified, and they did not want him out of prison. And his parole was denied also. He is serving his sentence in Summit County Jail in Utah, and he is set to be released, however, on April 21st, 2026. So not that much longer.
I still want to know, did he ever, I mean, did anybody give up? Like, was there more to it than just a couple thousand dollars in life insurance after he paid out people? Like, what was so bad about Jill? Yeah. Was he a cheater, pumpkin eater?
I tried to find that information out, but there's hardly anything on this case. Actually, I'm going to tell you in a second, but it was brought to us by a listener. There's not that much, but I would love to know what Paul's secrets were, because there's obviously, he was hiding something. He was having an affair. He had all that credit card fraud, right? So I'm thinking Jill probably knew about it or found out about it and was like, I'm going to go to the pastor, the elder, the whoever, you know, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, something was going on. I have a feeling it had to do with that credit card fraud is why she probably knew about it, found out about it. He's like,
maybe she was like, I'm going to leave your ass. Like, let's like figure that out. And maybe he didn't want to, like, maybe he felt some kind of way about her leaving him, and then she's going to expose him.
Yeah.
And then that humiliation, which is like extra when you're real churchy.
Yeah, it's true. Paul Allen was eligible for parole in 2022. He did not attend his parole hearing. Jill's mom and sister did, and they made their remarks. Jill's sister, she said she would like Paul to know once again that he is a coward for not showing up today, which I agree with you, Mickey. He is a coward. Jill's mom, Andrea, told the parole board how much she misses getting phone calls from Jill and hearing her daughter laugh. She added also that she does not miss her daughter calling her and telling her how mean Paul was to her.
Okay. So I bet she was about to leave him, mm-hmm. you know, and she that is the thing with giving people life with the, you know, possibility of parole.
Yes. Is that the parents have to show
up. The family has to go through it all. You know, even like Kelsey Grammer's sister.
Yeah.
Frazier was murdered, and he still has to deal with that. I mean, that is just such an unfortunate burden, especially if they're like violently murdered and they are going to be violent criminals on the outside. Like, there is no rehab possibility.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
She also said being married to you, Paul, was the worst years of her life. So yeah, I'm assuming he was just a big fucking asshole. Andrea, the mom, also added, I wanted you pronounced guilty and sentenced to death, but our system is much kinder than you are. Now I want you to spend the rest of your life in prison. Oh, she also said, even though he wasn't there, she like addressed like he was. And she said, do not send me any more letters telling me how much you love Jill, which I'm like, I can't believe they would allow him to do that.
Oh yeah. That is, you know what? That is a mofo.
Fuck. I know.
Listen, you send one. I don't want you sending anything. There is no excuse. There's nothing you can say, but you send one. Fine. You keep sending them. That is just like taunting the family. Yeah. That's horrible. If I was that mama, I would start having my neighbor check the mail.
I know.
I'd be like, you see one, you throw it away. I don't even want it near me.
Just say return to sender. he was denied parole. Thankfully, he continues to serve his time at Utah State Correctional Facility. And I am bringing this to you from Her name is either Eliza or Elisa Dunkel. She actually has connections with Jill. She said she went to high school in Aberdeen, and she said it's real small, like a class of 50. And Andrea was, you know, Jill's mom was their school secretary, and her younger brother, Marshall, Jill's younger brother, was just a year older than her. She said that Jill was murdered when Marshall was a senior, and she remembers the day that Andrea and Marshall were both gone, and words quickly came out about Jill. She remembers how it affected their school. And while Jill was old enough, like older than them, and they didn't like know her, the effect that it had for like their whole school, because Andrea and Marshall were so loved, she said all the teachers in the school remembered teaching Jill, and it was just super devastating for their small town. They also all went to her funeral, and she shook Paul's hand when they were going through the like line. And then she remembers thinking when they arrested him, like, I just
sick to your stomach. Dang.
So, her headstone does not say Alan on it. It says Jill Martison, February 9th, 1972 to August 28th, 1996. She would be 52 if she was still alive, and she was, killed when she was 24.
Wow.
Sad story, huh?
Very sad. Yeah. That headstone thing. Did they, I wonder if they had it redone.
They must've had to, or like, you know, those headstones take super long time sometimes. And so I don't know, in the process, they were probably like, hold up, let's redo that one.
Well, I remember, there, I'm going to forget the doctor's name, but it's a case that we did. Dr. McMurrow, I think it's Dr. McSomething. Anyways, he killed his wife, and his daughters had her head, like they, there was a group of people who raised enough money or whatever to help her daughters have that last name taken off the mommy's headstone. Cause they don't want nothing to do with the dad.
Sure.
I think that's a very kind, thing to do.
I think you've got to do that because
necessary.
I mean, you don't want anything to do with
bad
that
energy.
Person dead or
in
alive.
Afterlife. No way. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully he's going to the hot place after this, because there was no use in doing that. And hopefully George Taylor, cause he's getting out of prison in like a year and a half. Hopefully he has been reformed in those few years he's spent in prison.
Yeah, absolutely.
God, hope so.
Yeah.
Anyways, I know we haven't told you through this podcast, but there are a couple things. One of them is what we would like for Christmas. And that is for you to tell your friends about us, or your family, or your frenemies.
Amen.
Or a person that you're walking next to at Walmart. If you're like, hey, do you like trick or treat?
100%.
So do I. And they're going to be like, yes. Like, oh my God, I have this great podcast. If you have not listened to it yet, you got to. Housewives.
Which reminds me, because a listener sent me this Walmart stuff. I'm going today to look at the Dolly Parton Christmas stuff in my sickness. Have you taken yourself to Bucky's yet?
No, I know. I'm so
shitballs, Tab. They're going to sell out. They have shitballs. The cutest shirt. I saw it in my Dolly Parton group.
I know.
And they have it at Bucky's.
Okay, I'm going to go to Bucky's.
To Bucky's. Bucky's doesn't have like an online store.
Oh, okay. I'm going. I got to go. It's opposite direction of anywhere.
That's all I want for Christmas is for Tab to go to Bucky's.
I'm going to go for you for Christmas. Okay. But what we as a collective, you know,
as a collective. Crime, okay. It's not all about me.
Please tell your friends. Even if you right now just copy this link and send it to your friends, that'd be awesome. If you haven't subscribed to us on YouTube, that would also be great. Even if you don't listen to us or watch us on YouTube, you can just go there and give us a little subscribe button. That would be awesome. I know I'm asking a lot, but, you know, it's worth it. Yeah. Trust me. if you guys need skincare that you are just going to love so much, go to Five Crimes. It's FIVECrimes.com. That's another way to support us. And we are coming out with some cute merch. I'm on it right now, and I'll be posting that. And we are on Facebook, Housewives of True Crime group. That's where we have our private group. Just ask to join. And I think that's it, Crutchy Poo.
Okie dokie. Clinky clink.
Clink clink.